So we are in week two of our summer series, Side Kicks in Scripture. You may remember that last week we talked about Hagar and Abraham and Sarah and found that an interesting story. I still have not let go of and am still wrestling through, and I wonder if you've wrestled through this anymore, that Hagar was an Egyptian woman being oppressed by what would be an Israelite woman. And then in the next book, we read about the Israelites being oppressed by the Egyptians. It's such an interesting dynamic, and I think that there's probably something more there. So I just float that out there for us all to ponder and reflect on, because we don't want to resolve everything for you. That would be boring. Friends, we pray for you as we move into the room. And gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. May you speak through me, if not because of me, in spite of me. And may God, you, through the power of your Spirit, give us the wisdom and humility that each of us need to receive from you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I realized this morning, actually I was listening there, that I preached my first sermon 22 years ago. I'm pretty sure it was in June, 22 years ago. And then I preached one a little bit later and a little bit later and so on and so on. And if I could just tell you, there's a video floating out there somewhere. I don't know where it is. Probably on the old tape that maybe doesn't work anymore, which is probably okay. The very first sermon I ever preached in front of a congregation. And this was after I had done it for a few months. So let's also name that. And it was about 6 minutes long. And I'm pretty certain I looked like this the entire time. I think everyone was seasick after watching that terrible 6 minutes. Yeah. At the time, I had, and also to name, I feel like for me, I have progressed. I still have a lot of learning and work to do, but I have progressed from where I was 22 years ago. And what I remember about 22 years ago is, I really had no strong biblical understanding. I had no understanding of the narrative that God was writing. I had no concept of what exegetical work was. I knew nothing about storytelling well. I didn't understand the importance of tension and leaving things out there. I had no idea about callbacks and foreshadowing or the way in which you present. I knew none of those things. It was horrendous. In all levels, a train wreck. And those poor people sat there, and they gave me lots of wonderful comments on that going outside. And now I know they're all liars. But that was the first time 22 years ago. And I've preached more times than I can count at this point in time, and I still have lots of room to grow and to learn and to get better. But I think about that, and I think about how I've often asked some of you if you would be interested and willing to do something. And a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, the conversation goes very similar. In fact, I remember one particular volunteer in the youth ministry years ago, and I said, hey, I really think you should volunteer with us. She wasn't volunteering then. I don't know if I can do that. Sure you can. All you got to do is just ask a teenager about their life and listen. You don't have to do anything else. Just actually listen to what they have to say. And she goes, I don't know if I can do that. So she said no. I asked her the next year. So I'm going to ask you again, just so you know. I asked her a year, comes out and asked her. She says no. I asked her a third year, and I think I wore her down enough that she finally said yes, so I stopped asking. And she showed up, and she started volunteering. And then a year goes by, and she starts leading small group. And another year goes by, and now she's also not just leading a small group, she's also teaching others how to do the same thing. And then another year goes by, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to be gone on vacation. I think you should teach the lesson. I think you'd be really great at it. Oh, no, I can't do that. So she says no. Ask her again down the road. She says no. Ask her again down the road. It must be three. Every time I got a third one, she said yes. So then she says yes, teaches the lesson, and now, a few years later, not only is she doing it regularly, but she's also the associate youth minister. That's not that different than conversations I have with some of you all. I'm like, hey, would you be interested in being a liturgist? You're like, oh, I don't know if I'll be in front of people. I don't know if I can speak like that. I don't know if I should do that. And I think that's probably like a natural response for us, right? When we get asked to do something that looks large to us or outside of our comfort zone or is in front of people in a very public way, we get very nervous very quickly, and we start to wonder whether or not we actually are capable of doing that thing. And in today's scripture reading from Grace, thank you for that for us, you heard Moses being called by God. You're probably familiar with this story, or perhaps maybe you've heard bits and pieces of it, that the bush is on fire, and God is calling Moses to come forward, and there's this long conversation that's occurring between Moses and God. And what we start to see and understand is that God is first, I think, inviting Moses to go back to Egypt and say, hey, let's let my people go from Pharaoh. You know, you can have some songs in your head right now. Moses doesn't jump at that. And the conversation kind of gets a little pushy a bit more, and it goes back and forth, and God continually invites Moses to do that very thing. It's not that different of a conversation than what I had with the volunteer years ago, or when I was first invited to preach, or conversations I've had with some of you. There's this hesitation that we sense. Now, Moses is obviously not a sidekick of Scripture. Moses gets a lot of airtime, a lot of written material, a lot of our conversations. Moses is formative in a lot of ways that we understand God and what God has done in the world. So where is the sidekick here that perhaps doesn't get as much airtime? And that sidekick we're going to lean in today is named Aaron. Now, some of you maybe know the name Aaron. Maybe you've heard of Aaron. You may have had a conversation or a Sunday school lesson years ago and heard of Aaron in it. In fact, Aaron is named in the Bible roughly 340 to 350 times, depending on your translation. Which, isn't it interesting that Aaron is named that much in the Bible, and yet I imagine many of us actually don't really know a lot about Aaron. And not only do we not know a lot about Aaron, I think perhaps we don't really know Aaron's role in the story and what that perhaps says to us. So, to introduce you to Aaron, I'm going to read for you just a little bit farther down the conversation that Moses is having with God. Okay, so this is still that conversation that Moses is having with God about what God has asked Moses to do. So, Exodus chapter 4, starting verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, "My Lord, I've never been able to speak well, not yesterday, not the day before, and certainly not now since you've been talking to your servant. I have a slow mouth and a thick tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives people the ability to speak? Who's responsible for making them unable to speak, or hard of hearing, sighted, or blind? Isn't it I, the Lord? Now go. I'll help you speak, and I'll teach you what you should say." But Moses said, "Please, my Lord, just send someone else." None of you have ever said that to me, like when I'm like, "Hey, would you go volunteer at the front and shake everyone's hand and welcome them? You're going to choose someone else, please." We've never said that, have we? But Moses said, "Please, Lord, just send someone else." Then the Lord got angry at Moses and said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak very well. He's on his way out to meet you now, and he's looking forward to seeing you. Speak to him and tell him what he's supposed to say. I'll help both of you speak, and I'll teach both of you what to do. Aaron will speak for you to the people. He'll be a spokesperson for you, and you will be like God for him." An interesting little introduction to Aaron. And And if you missed it, because I missed this for longer than I'd like to admit, Moses had brothers and sisters?
What?
Didn't Moses get put in a basket to survive? How did he have brothers and sisters? These are older brothers. This is an older brother before the decree from Pharaoh is our best understanding here. So yes, Moses does in fact have brothers and sisters. But here we have Aaron being pushed into this invitation and this call of Moses. And it's important for us to understand, we don't know for sure. Maybe Moses was just nervous and when he would get in front of people, he would lock up and not know what to say. Maybe. Maybe Moses was a person living with some sort of disability. That's also possible. We don't really know for sure. But what we do know is that Moses was hesitant, and Moses needed a little more push from God. So some things we know about Aaron. Again, Aaron is the older brother of Moses. Aaron goes on to be not just like an assistant to Moses, but the actual participant with Moses in the confrontation of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. So Aaron, who doesn't get as much credit, was right there with Moses. Right there, facing Pharaoh, facing the empire. I often wonder who actually spoke to Pharaoh. I'm not sure if I know the clear answer to that. And I've tried to look, and I'm not sure people know for sure. Did Moses directly speak, or did Aaron speak, or was it some combination? Both were like a tag team, and who knows? Maybe it was like today's show where they were just multiple hosts. I don't know what's going on. But Aaron was right there. Aaron later became Israel's first high priest. We see this in Exodus 28:29, Leviticus, and Numbers. So Aaron goes on to become a significant person in the formative faith of the Israelites, and so that it's not just about redeeming people from oppression, but it's also about how forming them spiritually, and Aaron goes on to play a major role in that. Aaron, though, is also a human being. And you know what this means is that sometimes Aaron has to come in and preach about peace when he was just frustrated about something going on in the world that's not peaceful and doesn't feel very peaceful. Aaron has to come in and do something knowing at times he is not perfect. Aaron, in Exodus 32, is the person who submitted to the demands of the people when Moses was up on the mountain for too long. And they said, well, who knows what's happened to Moses? Here, take all of our gold and make for us a God that we can worship. And so Aaron, who was right there as a brother of Moses, was called by God to help Moses, was right there confronting Pharaoh and the Egyptians, who would go on to be the first high priest. Aaron was also the one who helped the Israelite people take their gold and make a golden calf that you probably learned about in Sunday school and worship a golden calf because Moses was taking too long up on the mountain. Aaron did that. The one who helped Moses, who freed people, who would go on to help shape people's faith, also failed miserably. And we also see another time in Numbers 17, Aaron, along with other peoples, there was this kind of mini revolt happening, if you will. Aaron started to blame Moses for the problems, and kind of in some ways turned on Moses, and was part of this short uprising that was going on. And all you're like, wait a minute, Aaron's a sidekick, like a superhero like this? Isn't it interesting that Aaron is both incredibly significant and important and incredibly flawed as well? I think the same is true about Moses. I think the same is true about David. I think the same is true about any human being that you follow through Scripture. We also see one point where Aaron, there's this different groups are trying to say that they should be the high priest, essentially. And so they take the different staffs and they lay them in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, these staffs are dead wood that has been shaped to be a staff. They're not living. There's nothing about them that is alive. And they put them in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and overnight, one of them starts to blossom again, as if it's a live tree. And it's Aaron's. And it's, in many ways, God's way of saying that from the dead, I can bring about living and life. You see, Aaron is both incredibly called by God. Aaron is incredibly important to the shaping of the community of the people. And Aaron is also completely human. I wonder if that makes you and I feel a little better. That you are, and I, and all of us, are incredibly important to what God is doing in the world and shaping. And you and I and all of us are also still incredibly human. And it is both of those things. You see, Aaron is not just a backdrop to God's plan. Aaron is a sign that God's calling often comes through a shared vocation. That God's calling often comes through a shared vocation. We are formed together and used by God together. In fact, God, if you notice, God does not shame Moses for needing help. God does not shame Moses for needing help, whatever help that might be. Instead, what does God do? God gives Moses a brother to work with him and alongside him. That poor congregation 22 years ago, who were a bunch of liars, but in the nicest way possible. The poor people who have sat under many, many sermons over the years, that were really terrible. And some of you, all of you, who have sat through some terrible sermons given by yours truly. Yet, it is in that collective group that I have been shaped. It is that this collective group that hopefully you have been shaped. It is a shared vocation together for us to go out in the world and to bring God's kingdom and make God's kingdom known. It is in both our callings and our imperfections and doing it together at which we are formed in meaningful ways. You see, the thing about Aaron, and that we learn from Aaron's story when we look at it as a whole, is that God does not use us because we are perfect. God does not use us because we are perfect. God does not use us because you have all the skills right now, ready to go. God uses us. God uses Aaron because he and we are willing. I got into ministry because I was asked to help, and I was willing. I preached a terrible sermon because I was willing. I showed up and did it again because people lied to me, and because I was willing. The volunteer that I asked to be part of the ministry for years said no and no, but eventually became willing. Your growth and my growth and our participation in what God is doing is often not based on our known and visible skills. It's also not hindered by our deficits and whatever they might be. Instead, it is shaped and encouraged both by the community which we are in and the willingness of our hearts and minds to say yes. Aaron, as flawed as Aaron is an important name in the scripture. Aaron's story is important for you and I to hear. and to know. So you may not be, I may not be, we may not be the main character in the story of the world, but you are essential to what God is doing. Pray for me. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Scripture first, for these stories that we have recorded. We give you thanks for Aaron. And Aaron's, even in the midst of flaws and being human, Aaron's willingness to say yes, to do what is difficult, to join Moses, and to also hear that line that God gave Moses and Aaron the words to say, to speak. That your Spirit was working for them. God, may you give each of us the mind and the heart to know the same thing. That no matter what we are asked, you ask us to call, that you call us into the ways in which you ask us to serve, the ways in which you ask us to love this world around us. That no matter where we are asked to go, God, that we are not limited by what we think or understand of ourselves, but instead your Spirit will and does work in us and through us. And that, God, you have given us this community, this faith community around us, to support us as we grow in those callings together. God, may we remember that we may not be perfect, and yet we are perfectly loved by you. We're perfectly called by you to show this world grace, love, and mercy, and glimpses of heaven right here, right now. God, may you give us the heart and the mind to be willing to say yes to that which you would call us to. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, if you are able, Lord, you stand and join as we close out our worship.